This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Presented as always by Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Pickle, Johnny Kicksawville, and Jason Bishop. Jason, you're the weatherman. Yeah. Is it going to rain later today? I'm looking outside right now. It looks a little cloudy.
Sunny here. I think the sun's coming your way. I think today's going to be fine, and then tomorrow and Friday you're going to have rain on and off both days.
Because I pay attention to the weather.
Not at all. Yep.
And yeah, I plan on going outside like for a run after the show, but it's looking a little shaky.
It doesn't look like until really like maybe 9, 10, 11 o'clock tonight.
So yeah. I can squeeze it in pretty much any time during the day.
I think so. All right. Although it looks like cloudy mostly today.
I'm going to be playing golf today over at Evergreen Country Club in Haymarket. Ooh, so hopefully that terrain holds off.
Yeah, I just need to make a decision if it's the post-show run or the post-show nap.
Ooh.
I think
usually
way,
an easy decision.
Either way,
usually
you'll be fine.
Usually the nap wins out.
But tomorrow
the
and
nap
Friday.
Often wins out.
Tomorrow and Friday is when all the precip comes through.
You know, Valdez yesterday told me, or this morning told me that yesterday, I think he spent like 5 hours watching some random podcasters playing Kevin Kisner in a match.
So I listened to like five golf podcasts, and one of them is the Barstool one, and they had a match set up where it's the four of the hosts playing a scramble style against Kevin Kisner from the way back tees at Pinehurst number two. I watched all 5 hours of the round.
Wow. Yeah. And I'm guessing Kisner won?
No, the podcasters won.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's probably giving him a stroke a hole.
No strokes.
Like best ball.
Best ball.
Or, oh, it's best ball.
It's scramble format. And then Kisner plays his own ball. Kisner shot 70, then the four-play crew shot 69.
Wow. Limas has at least one or two pretty good golfers then.
They have two single digit handicaps, and then like some person in like the 20s, and then like a 12 or 13.
Where did they play?
Pinehurst number two.
Pinehurst number two. Okay, gotcha. I'm surprised Kisner didn't go lower.
Well, that's not a very good course for Kisner. It's geeky, but Kisner doesn't hit it that far, and it's like 7,800 yards.
Right, but you know what? And I watched the same thing, but when they played at Palmetto Club. With all those guys.
Yeah.
And Kevin Kisner's my favorite player on tour.
He's awesome, isn't he?
He's got a great personality.
He talks a lot of trash, doesn't he?
Yeah, he talks trash.
He jones on all his boys.
Yeah, and he's like a normal dude. He's slugging beers and everything, although he didn't slug beers for their version of the match since they're trying to play for charity. And there's some big money on the line.
He's boys with Scott Brown, too, also a PGA Tour player.
Yes.
And the one with – did Scott Brown play in that best
ball?
No,
he did not.
Yeah.
No, it was just Kisner by himself with his caddy.
We used to do golf matches on this show, so we had the Cakes versus JP, Clash at Blue Mash. Then we played the homies. Cakes, did you play crickety?
I believe so, yes.
Did you win or lose? I can't remember. I think I caddied for you.
I know I swung and missed.
No. Yeah, I think we did like an 18-hole format where the first nine holes was one-on-one matches. So I don't know. Maybe you were matched up against Squirrel or against Pastry, I want to say. And then we did team play on the back nine.
Yeah, I think I played Mike, and I did beat him. But yeah, I can't remember.
It was a good old days.
It's 20 years ago.
But yeah, that Kisner stuff is really fun. You can watch it on YouTube
too. I know, but so what I did was I mirrored my phone, since it was on Instagram Live, to the TV, mm-hmm. and then I just sat back and watched it.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had nothing else to do.
Yeah, exactly.
I just sent the story, which I just saw, that Mike Tyson's former estate, which is on the sixth hole at Congressional, mm-hmm. is up for sale. Take a look at some of these pictures. It's going for $8.5 million, which actually to me seems like a bargain for what I'm seeing from these pictures. It's absurd.
What was it, 19,000 square feet?
19,000 square feet. It has,
it's over there, by Congressional.
Has a rec room, a full gym, and has a full outdoor basketball court. Has a beautiful pool.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, it looks like a hotel.
I mean, I don't even know how, like she says, it's too much space for her. Obviously, it is. It's too much space for like 10 families.
Right. Yeah, I mean, gigantic. How many bedrooms?
I don't think it listed the amount of bedrooms.
Think about it.
It's probably 12 bedrooms in that place.
That thing is what, 19,000 square feet, did you say?
Yeah, right. Almost 20, yep.
One of the nicest homes I've ever been to was Cooley's, right? His old house.
Yeah, very nice.
What was that, like 8,000?
No. His was about 14,000 square feet.
Was it 14,000? That thing was massive.
Yeah.
Was massive. And this thing is much bigger, and, you know.
Well, like a typical Walmart is about 40,000 square feet. So that house is about half the size of a Walmart, roughly.
Correct.
Right. Well, this was the house where Tyson actually had his tiger. So he had
I keep my his tiger. I keep the big cat in the back.
Right. His tiger actually once escaped and was discovered in a neighbor's yard. It was 550 pounds. Could you imagine if you had a tiger wander into your yard?
You'd be scared about a stupid bear that weighs like 150 pounds.
I'd be scared of any of those, dude.
That's a 550-pound eldritch.
Right, because it would eat you.
Wanders into your house.
Right. Of course. I'm telling you, who's going to get caught first, Manfredonia or the bear?
That dude's going to get caught. That bear is he's just chilling. He's like he's up in a tree somewhere.
He's probably back in the mountains.
Or he's in a cave.
He was in Silver Spring. He's going in the wrong direction.
Oh, he's going inside the Beltway towards
clueless.
The city.
Yeah, he doesn't know where he's going. Big dummy.
Yeah, how would he know?
This house is stupid.
Big dumb bear.
He doesn't have Google Maps. Right. He's just walking aimlessly.
So, JP, did it say who owned this house after Tyson and Monica Turner?
No. I think she owned it the whole time.
Oh, she's owned it.
Yeah, but her kids are grown now. She's like, what am I going to do with 19,000 feet of space?
Right. How about sell that blicky?
Yeah, make a profit and give none of it to Tyson.
Right.
I mean, I can't believe that.
That's probably the move.
Yes, sir.
I don't know if you guys saw the story. I don't want to get into the politics of it. I really don't. The woman that was fired in Florida, the data scientist, they say now she actually had an affair with a student over at FSU when she was this woman is crazy. She had a 342-page manifesto, Cakes.
That's a big manifesto.
Of her affair with a 21-year-old student. She was charged with cyberstalking. They say she set up her own, like, revenge porn-type site where she was posting their sex messages and everything. She was so bitter that they broke it off. Meanwhile, then she claims that he impregnated her. Meanwhile, she's got an 8-year-old with her current husband.
Oh.
And this crazy woman put all this up on a website. What is going on?
All
What's
right,
going on
in
the world?
Now I got to ask.
Yeah.
What does she look like?
I mean, I guess in hindsight now you'd think crazy, but I mean, no, not terrible.
About a 7?
Yeah, probably. Probably if you're drinking.
Oh, okay.
You know, probably
have
two.
A few.
Yeah, two Jack and Gingers in. You're saying, that's probably a 6 3.
Who's going to write 400 pages? That's not like
400 pages.
That's not named Stephen King.
And Valdez, I might have to
put
you.
John Grisham.
I might have to put you onto this. She created her own revenge porn website called Surviving Garrett.
That's usually a guy move. The revenge porn is usually the domain of the male, not the female.
That was 342-page manifesto, 60 pages including screen grabs of their sexts.
Well, that's titillating.
That sounds like about these. That is up my alley.
That is up my alley, but it's up Drab's alley even more because it sounds like some sort of literotica.
Right? Drab likes to just read.
Right.
Right. I can see the attraction to that, Drabby.
I think he's got a collection of, what are those, the penthouse forms?
Yeah, that's going old school.
Dude, you know what's really really titillating? Because I've seen I'll see these links and I'll click on it. Slate has a column. You ever go to that? Slate,
no.
And it's like some two sexologists or whatever. You feel like Cakes did when he was driving to the Borgata that one year. You're like, Ooh. Oh my God, I might have to stop reading this.
I was right at the edge.
People ask like their Ann Landers type questions, but they're like sex questions about their partners. And you start reading it and you go, oh my God, I'm going to have to click out of this. This is ridiculous.
Ann Landers.
Well deserved old man alert.
I've fallen and I can't get up.
Ann Landers.
It's a good pull, though.
Ooh.
From the deep recesses.
I'm just clicking on this story from 4 days ago. How did you miss this, Valdez? Beware of the latest sex trend. Spite porn is being sent to naughty exes.
Naughty.
Explain spite porn.
All right, I'm just going to read it as I'm. Have you been a bad boy? Then you might be getting an X-rated talking to from a porn star.
Is it like porno cameos?
Scolding, I guess. Yes. Yes. Custom ordered scolding is the latest way spurned exes are getting revenge.
By the way, Junkies Producers on Cameo if you want Drab to scold you.
You get a good scolding.
She says, a woman just ordered a custom video for me to send her ex-husband and have me shame him for all the S he did while they were together.
I mean, can there be a big market for that? Who's really going to go to that sort of effort
she
and trouble?
She gets $10 a minute.
Oh, a geez. Minute? Wow. She's
$10 a minute.
She's killing your Cameo rate, Valdez and Drab. Just
man, we're a bargain.
So that's what, $200 for 20 minutes, right, Cakes? Am I doing the math on that correctly? I think so.
I believe you're right. But who's got 20 minutes of material in them? Seriously. Yeah. She might have 30 seconds.
20 minutes is a lot.
If you're a real douche.
What, was she Seinfeld? She got a good 20 minutes? Come on. Get out of here.
Right. Oh, man. I tell you what. Yesterday, we just ordered a power washer. So I'm going to power wash the outside of my house. My brother recommended one. I can't tell you. And it's so true. All my wife does when she's not working is she just sits around and looks for stuff to order online. She goes, oh, we need this. You know, like a bench or something to put towels in. Or, oh, we need this, a mosquito thing. Or, oh, we need this. Just, that's all that happens during the quarantine. Are you guys finding that same thing? Oh, I know Jason just deletes all the orders. So
no, she does. No, just believe me. She gets some of those through.
Right.
And it tilts me.
She gets some past the goalie.
Yeah, she does. Five hole.
I wish I could tell you what D was trying to order yesterday, and I looked and I said, you're just bored. You're just ordering that because you're literally bored right now. And I think I was able to convince her not to. Power washer, I'll give you an update.
Well, you need the power washer, no doubt.
Yeah.
But what tilts me is when my daughter orders her 70-second bathing suit.
What is that 70-second bathing? I don't know what that is.
She has 71.
Yeah. Okay, the number. I thought you meant like you okay? 70
well,
seconds.
It's useful because pools are open right now.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Like, where are you going to wear
so
them?
So much swimming going on.
We get a lot of those delivered, too. I don't know why.
You really just need two. You need two bathing suits.
My 10-year-old ordered three at a time. She's 10.
Yeah, you need to cut
that. She's not hear about the haircut. She doesn't get that memo.
Nobody cares about the haircut.
Everybody in my house, dogs included, know that there was a haircut. Haircut central.
Dog's actually on camera right now.
Yeah, it's Kipper right there. Yeah. Look at that. Look at that cutie.
All right, coming up next, we'll shift gears and talk a little golf. Jason Sobel, golf writer for the Action Network, will join us on The Junkies.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A future match. You seem to really enjoy it, enjoyed the banter, huh? But there wasn't that much banter coming from Tiger Woods.
No, he look, you're going to get one of two things. You're either going to get Tiger with some dad jokes and some kind of tired one-liners, or you can get Tiger playing some good golf. I just don't know that you can get both of those simultaneously. And we got Tiger playing good golf. We let the other three guys. We let Charles Barkley and Justin Thomas and the broadcast crew take care of some of the banter as well. So I was fine with that. I mean, Tiger's not going to go out there and be a stand-up comedian. So let him go out and play golf and watch Tiger play golf. The other guys have more fun than him.
You know, yeah, I thought it was great, honestly. I was entertained for 5 hours. Tigers have got some sneaky comedy in there. You know, you just got to kind of pay attention and listen to him. Maybe his mic wasn't working for some of the round, but Peyton was great. I thought Mickelson in his kind of nerdy, geeky comedy way was great. Barkley was awesome. Justin Thomas was great. It was just so much better than last weekend with those four duds.
they learned something. And I had always had a sneaky suspicion that a couple of non-professional golfers would work better in this situation than a few pros. In fact, I remember speaking with Phil right around the first match about a year and a half ago, and I said, you know, and at the time it sounded like it was going to be a series, sounded like it was going to be a somewhat regular occurrence. And I said, you know, I'd love to see, and I'd still love to see this, two contest winners, you know, just average Joe, 14 handicaps who are going out there trying to win money. I would love to see them playing against you and Tiger. And he goes, you know, that's not bad. And you know, I'm not taking any credit whatsoever, but the fact that it's not just four guys who look like they're playing a Tuesday practice round on the PGA Tour. Look, we've seen those guys play. We know they either hit really good shots or pretty good shots. And once in a while, they hit one that doesn't look great. But the unknown with guys like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning, guys who aren't professional golfers, who aren't used to playing with millions of people watching them, I thought was very intriguing. As you know, average golfers ourselves, we can applaud the good shots and empathize with the bad shots. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, really well. What do you think they'll be able to incorporate from this, if any of it, into sort of the regular coverage? Is any of this doable? I mean, I can't see Tiger or Phil being mic'd up when they're playing a competitive round. I don't see that in the future. But are there any elements from the broadcast that they might be able to add?
Maybe just a little bit. I think players being mic'd up is something that they need to work on. The PGA Tour and the rights holders need to push these players and say, look, you guys are competing, but you're also part of a TV show. And we need you to be included in that TV show a little bit more. So I think players mic'd up is something that I would be surprised if they don't broach that subject with the players a little bit more aggressively in coming months and years. As far as changing the broadcast, I think we're talking about two different things, because Thursday early afternoon is a lot different than Sunday evening. So I don't think you need to change. Okay, it's Sunday, it's the back nine, we're coming down the stretch. Hey, let's joke around and have fun and, you know, have a little giggle here. I think you need to keep it the way it is. That said, those Thursday, Friday telecasts where everyone gets on the couch and, you know, at 4:15 you kind of doze off when they start showing guys you don't necessarily care that much about. You wake up and all of a sudden it's, you know, 6 o'clock and you're like, oh, well, I guess I missed the whole second round from Colonial. Those are the rounds that, hey, let's try something. I've always been a proponent of let's try something. Let's come up with a little out of the box idea. I've always thought for years now that golf telecasts are way too stale. They should at the very least look like those old pop-up video, shows that they had where, you know, you have graphics all over the screen. I mean, I can't believe that, you know, for 95% of the time you're watching a golf telecast, there's no one actually hitting a golf shot. Feed me information, feed me entertainment, and yet they still don't do that. There's too much, you know, guys checking the wind and walking down the fairway.
Jason, you came up with a good drinking game concept on your Twitter, at Jason Sobel, T-A-N. Take a swig every time a quarterback takes a drop during the match.
Oh, you'd be hammered.
That would have been a good one. That would have been fun.
Especially with Brady.
Yeah, poor Tom Brady. We've never said those words before. But those first six holes, and I'm still getting hammered on Twitter for a comment I made. I said, if he's an 8.1, now I'm plus six. I tweeted that when he was on, like, the fourth hole. And he hadn't really gotten one airborne yet. I mean, it looked really bad early. He got better. But, I mean, you could basically produce a 10-part documentary series on Tom Brady's afternoon. The fact that he probably lost three sleeves of balls out there. He holed out from the fairway. He split his pants. He rolled in an eagle putt after Mickelson drove the green. He won a long drive competition with a three-wood. Doesn't carry a driver. I mean, I need the behind the scenes on all of this stuff. There was just so much going on in that round for Brady.
Yeah, it was great. Well, I will say this. I mean, if he's playing a lot, I could see him at an 8, you know, or even lower. But it was clear that he was, one, nervous, and two, hadn't been playing a lot. And Peyton apparently has been playing a lot. And that
can't
showed.
Blame him for any of that.
Yeah, but I can't imagine being on that first tee box when you know millions of people are watching. It's pouring down rain. You got two of the best. You got the best golfer ever, and, you know, another top tenner. Right? You got all those cameras on you. It's not your sport. You know it's for a bunch of money. I mean, I couldn't imagine being up there on that first tee box. I would have snap-hooked it, too.
I spoke with a few PGA Tour players beforehand who had played with both of these guys. Luke Donald played with Peyton at Pebble in the Pro-Am this year. Ricky Barnes played with Tom Brady 6 years ago at Pebble, the only time he played there. And they all basically told me, you can tell they were, you know, kind of on the record. It's, you know, well, this guy's pretty good, that guy's pretty good. But you could tell that they all thought Brady had a lot more potential as a golfer than Manning did. They all thought that Brady could be a very low single-digit handicap if he was able to work on his game. I didn't quite see it the other day, but again, yeah, those are tough conditions for any amateur golfer. You know, pouring down rain, playing with Tiger and Phil. It's on TV. You're expected to go out there and play good golf. I mean, that's a lot of stuff going against you right there.
Jason, did you ever, from the people you talked to, did you ever find out if they had their own little side match going?
I don't believe so.
Oh, okay.
But I would be surprised if they didn't the day before. They were showing that video when it was actually sunny and they were playing Medalist on Saturday.
Right.
So they had, I'm guessing they had a little side action on Saturday.
What are the plans here for the restart here in a couple weeks? You know, I've been asking these guys, and nobody knows the answer, but, you know, as we're learning more about this virus and as testing is more available here, and, you know, these pro sports leagues are going to be testing all the time, this idea that, like, say, international players need to quarantine for 14 days, it seems to me, I'm sorry, sort of archaic. Just test them before they leave, test them when they arrive. And they don't need to quarantine for 14 days when they get here and 14 days when they go back and all of that nonsense. Has anybody sort of readdressed as we've learned more and as testing has become more available?
Yeah, that's a good question, that part of it. I know Rory spoke yesterday and said his caddy, who still lives over in Northern Ireland, is going to be quarantined for 14 days when he first comes over here before they start
What's
playing.
What's the point of that?
Very shortly now. That might be... I don't know. God, this is way above my pay grade. That might be a law. It might not be a PGA Tour or any other rule from sports leagues themselves. That might be sort of federal law right now. I don't know. I'm not totally sure.
Well, we need to address that law if it is, because if you have the ability to be tested, there's no reason for the quarantine. Plus, with so many being asymptomatic, the quarantine doesn't really do anything.
Right.
It's just so silly. Right. It doesn't really tell you anything.
There's a lot of parts to this, I feel like, that are probably more optics than than preventative. And
yes.
I think that, you know, I don't know. You know, they were touching the flagstick on mm-hmm. Sunday, and I didn't see them really spraying it down beforehand or afterwards. Now, granted, there's nobody else on that golf course, so I don't know how you could get exposed to anything from a flag stick that nobody else has touched, but still they're touching the flag stick, they're pulling in and out. They're going to have bunker rakes, and apparently the caddies are going to have to or be encouraged to wipe them down after they use them. Again, above my pay grade, I don't know if this is, hey, we're being way too careful, or, hey, it's really important to be this careful. I don't know it. You know, this is so out of my realm of expertise.
Right.
Talking to Jason Sobel, golf writer for the Action Network. Talk about how the PGA Tour now is partnering with the NFL, because you're going to have NFL games going on, competing with the Masters and the U.S. Open. How's that all going to work?
Yeah, I think it's still a little bit to be determined, but I mean, people are looking at it from a negative standpoint, like, man, golf's not really going to have a day. There's football on, there's this and there's that. I look at it as, if you're a sports fan, and maybe they move up the tee times for the Masters like they did last year, which it was supposed to rain on Sunday afternoon. As you recall, Tiger won the Masters probably at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So
right.
It seemed to go over pretty well. I mean, no one really had too much of a problem with that. So you can move it up and then have the late afternoon football games. To me, as a sports fan, with the potential of wake up in the morning, watch the final round of the Masters, watch NFL Sunday for the rest of the day, and maybe catch a World Series game that night, that feels like a pretty good Sunday to me. So I don't necessarily see any problem with it necessarily. People are going to watch the Masters. They're going to watch the U.S. Open, the Ryder Cup, if they do indeed play it. Maybe it hurts I'm trying to pick out a tournament a little bit further down the line on the fall part of the schedule where that's on a Sunday afternoon against football, but that's the case every year anyway. So it's really no different.
Yeah. And the other thing that I hadn't thought about this, but in November, you're going to lose daylight probably in that 5:30 range. So you got to have those leaders go off at around noon.
Yeah. And again, I've heard people say, you know, there are a lot of negatives to this. Oh, this is terrible playing the Masters in November. Maybe I'm just a glass half full kind of guy. First of all, I think we'll always remember the guy who won the 2020 Masters, because that was the guy who won the pandemic year, the year they had to move it back. You'll never forget who won that year. I'm excited to see how the course plays differently. I'm excited to see the fall foliage in the background. And you know what? If we don't like it, we're going to get another one 4 months later so we can deal with it.
How great is that? That's actually a great point.
So, Jason, the Charles Schwab is June 11th through the 14th down at Colonial in outside of Dallas. What do we know about the field? I would assume the field's going to be great since these guys want to start making some money. I think Rory's in it. I think DJ's in it. What are you hearing about that?
Yeah, tremendous field right now. All top five in the official world rankings are now committed. I saw Justin Thomas committed to the field yesterday. So it's going to be a very good field as far as all the precautions, the testing. I can tell you that players will be pre-screened before they travel. Once they travel, upon arrival, they will be given a nasal swab, I guess it is, or another test to test for COVID-19. And they'll know within 48 hours whether they're positive or not. If anyone does test positive, they'll be quarantined in that city for 10 to 14 days. But if everyone remains negative, they're going to go out, they're going to play golf, there won't be fans there, but otherwise it'll look pretty similar to the rest of us watching on TV.
So, Jason, I was perusing your Twitter, and I saw that you tweeted, I guess during the last airing of The Last Dance, that you actually were a production assistant at ESPN during that game 6 where MJ hit the game-winning shot. What are your memories of looking for highlights and scrambling?
A little bit about that. I started in June of 97, so I've been there just about a year. And as a production assistant, you kind of do a little bit of everything. Everyone always thinks you're grabbing coffee and picking up dry cleaning for your bosses. It is not that. It is they put you to work right away. And so the main part of the job is producing highlights. You sit in front of a game all night and you edit that and produce that game, that highlight for SportsCenter and the other studio shows. And so that was my game, that game 6. And I remember that, first of all, we were given probably about 3.5 to 4 minutes for the highlight. The producer of the show always tells you how much time you have, which Now I would imagine they just say, just make it whatever it needs to be, and you know, we won't run anything else. Right. The entire show, we're showing the highlight. But back then, it was like, hey, you got to be 4 minutes, and you know, the game was good, and I was going a little heavy on the highlight, and at the end, you know, Jordan hits the crossover, and I said, hey, I really need to show a replay. And I remember having, I won't call it an argument, but a little debate with, you know, my supervisor and the show producer, and saying, you know, I really think we need to show a replay of, you know, Michael Jordan hitting a crossover over Brian Russell to win the game there. And, you know, I was able to get in like a little 7 second replay and a little Jordan celebrating with a fist bump afterwards. And, you know, I'm glad I argued for that, to be able to show that again, because I think we've seen it a few more times over the years.
I mean, that was his last shot until he returned to the Wizards.
Yeah, it should have been his last shot.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it, buddy.
Good job, Jay.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Talk right, to bro. You again soon. That dovetails into one of my favorite cake stories when you were doing highlights for George Michael in the Sports Machine and you missed a golf shot.
Mm-hmm.
What did he yell at you for?
No, the guy was hitting it from the water or something.
Wasn't he? It was not George. He would not stoop down to yell at a lowly intern. Right. I had one of the real producers pull me to the side. It was just a random golf event. Yeah, where a guy hit a ball into the drink, but instead of taking a drop, he figured he would try to hit it out of the water. So he took his shoes off, pulled his pants, you know, rolled his pants up to his knees, and started flailing away at the ball in the water. And I was just like, I didn't think anything of it. I was like, this is just some idiot hitting the ball out of the water. So then I got pulled aside, and the producer basically said, this is the kind of thing that George loves. Like, he loves this sort of clip. And you're right. Stupid and young, and you glossed right over it.
Right.
Yeah, he put it in much nicer words and terms.
Right.
But yeah, I learned my lesson that day as a young.
He called you big stupid.
Basically, yeah.
What was the best highlight that you ever found?
I can't remember. I was always the low man on the totem pole. I was always given like a NASCAR race or like just a boring, like
you know,
the first Big Ten game every weekend, like Iowa versus Wisconsin.
Valdez, just play the old man alert because we're talking about George Michael anyway. Nobody even knows who that is.
That's true.
Please
that
do.
Is true.
Right? Please do that.
I mean, we just need the old man alert.
Yeah, but good memories, though. Those are memories.
If we talk about Ken Beatrice, play the alert.
Bob Ryan.
Yeah.
Bob Ryan doing the weather.
Right.
All right, that was Jason Sobel from the Action Network. We're the Junkies, and we'll be right back.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Of course, the four Junkies have been doing the show remotely now for a couple months, but Valdez and Drab, the boys behind the glass, still in the studios there at 1015 Half Street. And I don't know, Valdez, I guess you didn't turn off the mic. I heard you doing a whole bit.
Who was yelling at you about not wearing a mask?
We're going through a scenario.
It sounded like you were doing like a play.
Were you rehearsing a cameo?
No.
That's insulting.
Yeah.
All right.
Drab off the cuff on cameo.
Yeah.
Drab was going through a scenario in his head that if a Karen came up to him and told him to put on a mask.
Oh, right.
Yeah. What I was going to say.
What his canned lines
would
be.
So what are you going to say?
God, come on. This is not for air.
Oh, it's not for air.
I was just going to make someone.
You guys were doing a whole skit. Like, I heard Valdez. I heard Drab.
Mics up.
Yeah.
The Matt show was hot last segment.
Yeah, it was. It was on fire, some would say.
I saw someone on my Facebook feed saying that some Karen screamed at him in 7-Eleven for not wearing a mask. And so I was rehearsing with Valdez what I would do if someone yelled at me.
If someone came up to Drab at a Harris Teeter while he's, you know, going through the oranges.
And I was going through the... My reflex is to intimidate. She messed with the wrong person. She's been yelling at people.
Drab does his bit where he has a screw that goes loose. And he goes crazy on the
crazy
Karen.
Guy. Yeah.
He's basically, you don't know who you're messing with.
Right. You picked on the wrong guy.
So if you see Drab walking around Aldi without a mask, please go up to him and call his bluff.
Not that I'm physically intimidated. I might be crazy.
I did that one time in an adult league. It was co-ed, and I got in a fight with a guy on the other team. This was when I was in my 20s.
Yeah.
And I said, you don't know who you're messing with? And because I was all like on every creatine and protein powder.
Yeah, roid raging.
Yeah, I was roid raging on protein powder. And he's like, you don't know who you're messing with. I'm friggin' cop. And I was like, oh.
Kind of put you in place.
You win.
I can only pray that scenario goes over with Drab.
Right. Right. Huh? All right, so by the way, you said you have a revenge, a spite porn cameo?
Oh, yeah, we had a cameo request that came in, I guess, after we talked about it for Steven. And it said, I was told Drab could scold me. Tell me what a pile of human garbage I really am.
All right.
So now you guys are almost, I mean, it's almost like you're being a dominatrix.
Yeah, but you're branching out. They'll take it.
Well, yeah, but hold on. Anything. This is self-inflicted. This is not like an ex. This is just the guy wants to hear you goofing on him.
He wants to be humiliated.
Oh, my God.
He wants to be shamed.
Right.
That's terrible.
So we can do that.
You'll definitely do that for money. Of course you will.
The cameos are drying up. We got to branch out.
Whatever it takes. It sounds like those.
You can't afford to be picky.
It sounds like those guys that like the strippers or whatever to stomp on them with their heels.
That's what Drab's doing. He's putting a cigarette out on his nipple.
Yeah, right. You're doing the crush fetish.
That's what I just said, a dominatrix.
Yeah. Exactly.
Fellas, did you see the video, it went viral yesterday, of the woman who called 911 when the brother came up to her?
I read it a million times.
It's out of control. He's a bird watcher.
Do you understand that she should have been in prison for animal cruelty? Do you understand what she did to her dog?
What was she doing? I saw she got fired from something.
She almost kills the dog.
What was going on?
She's holding it by the collar, like strangling it.
You have to watch the video. It's like 2 minutes.
They're stupid.
She's on the phone calling 911, but in the meantime, unbeknownst to her, is she's strangling her dog to death.
Because she's so concerned about the guy?
Yes. It's unbelievable.
So I did see the after something. Did her employer fire her?
Yes. Like,
what does she do? Yeah. What does she do for a living?
I don't know. Shrabby, do you have that?
She worked for
Franklin Templeton? Is that the company? I could be wrong.
I think you're right.
That sounds like a financial
company. Sounds like a good job.
Yeah. Well, she got fired because she's stupid.
Well, that's why Drab's working on his confrontation skills.
Right.
Well, apparently the guy said, because he posted the back and forth on Facebook, and I don't have it in front of me, but apparently he said something vague to her, like something like, I'm going to do what I want and you're not going to like it. Uh-huh. And apparently that set her off.
Yeah. Well, because she didn't have a leash on the dog. And I think that was what he was complaining that, you know, in this area you're supposed to have a leash.
Running
and
wild.
Then she took it to an African-American guy's trying to kill me.
Correct. She went crazy.
But that part, I didn't even pay attention to that part.
Went Drab on him.
She tries to kill the dog. It's unbelievable.
Well, she lost her mind.
The other thing that jumps out at me
in that story is that there are bird watchers. Who are these people?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
By the way, Eric, Drab has a bone to pick with you.
Oh, no.
At the end of the show?
This is minor, and I know you're cantankerous today, so I better watch it.
Today.
Yeah, be careful.
Well, you joan on us to say that you're above cameo and that you can't ever stoop to that level.
100%.
I was on social media this weekend, and I saw you embarrassing yourself.
Selling my T-shirts?
Every hour, telling people that they were going to miss out the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to buy your T-shirt.
I don't know that I said once-in-a-lifetime, but I said, yeah, this is it. They're never coming back. Here's the thing. When you put them out there, here's the thing. Would you put them out there, and it's Chad and I doing it together, you got to sell them out it's more embarrassing to not sell them out. So I think if you're going to do it, you got to go all in. And then when they sell out, then you disappear.
I didn't even know what he was doing. I just saw a tweet that said like 7.
Yeah.
Just a number.
I
had no idea what was going on. I just saw a number. I was like, what does that mean?
Listen.
Then I had to kind of do a little research.
I can't blame you for shaming me on that. I mean, I hear you.
I would
but
argue,
if you're going to do it, you got to sell it. If you don't sell it out, it's embarrassing.
I would argue Cameo more respectable than T-shirts.
Maybe, but there's a lot more money, I think, to be made in the T. I bet you I made more money selling T-shirts in two weekends than you have in all
I'm
those
sure
cameos.
You have, but they're both bottom of the barrel.
Right.
Yeah. We also don't have a Saturday infomercial for them.
True. Here's the thing.
That's a good point.
I heard it. It's every
By the way, I wish we'd been selling T-shirts consistently for the last 20 years.
That's
exactly
been a nice, what I was
It would have been a nice revenue stream, whether
exactly
it is bottom of the barrel
to.
Or not.
I mean, it's not been lost 20%. On me as I've grown to really enjoy Barstool over the last 6 months that they made their mint off their merch in their podcasts.
Right.
And I mean, why not?
We were talking behind the scenes. We were working on a junkie store, and then the pandemic hit.
Yeah, yeah.
Another business just torpedoed.
Right, I don't know why we can't still bring it back.
And then you upset AWOD because AWOD's been working on a shirt, and he sees you.
What's the shirt he's working on?
The pizza banging.
It's
a
he's
pizza
been working banging. On that for a year.
I mean, I know, but he's got artwork and everything.
What do you mean? It takes us 2 seconds. Dukes and I come out. You know this. If I'm big on Dukes, you come up with a T-shirt. 2 seconds later, you got one.
He's ready to unveil it, I guess.
Does he have 9 prototypes? Just get it to market.
Yeah.
Just get it out there.
Every mock-up I've seen, I've approved. No tweaks. Just do it.
So did you end up selling out?
What was the question, JP?
Did you end up selling out?
Of course. Yeah.
Okay, I don't know.
Yeah, of course.
I just saw the number 7.
Some guy was asking to spend his last $20 on the T-shirt. The whole thing was embarrassing.
And what did I tell him?
He said, don't worry about it.
Yeah, I said, don't worry about it, brother. Save your money. Believe me, I don't want anybody spending their last $20
for the next T-shirt.
Save for the next one. Get out of here, boys. For EB, Cakes, Fish, I'm JP. Granddaddy, they're up next here in the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.